one of my number one tips is partner with experts to start. Now you've been successful doing a lot of your things on your own, and I think that's great. You can certainly learn a lot, but I felt I can accelerate my success, and not only accelerate my success, but do it faster and with more certainty by partnering with someone who is already doing it.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.
Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me today, I'm excited to have David Thompson. David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you being on. So, David, why don't you give our listeners a little bit about kind of your background, what you're doing today, what your focus is?
Sure. So, got into commercial real estate investing about 3 years ago, left corporate America. Decided to go full time, kind of had the passion like everybody did. If you got bit by real estate, either buying your first single rental family rental property or, someone you heard that was having some success and you wanted to, that lifestyle and, to run your own business. So, I had done the corporate gig for a while, had some good companies, good experiences, some fun travel, but, my kids were getting a little older, had one in college, one in high school. And I thought this might be a great time to just, take a break from that and go do something on my own. I ran into some folks who were doing a concept called syndication in commercial real estate. And I'm like, what is that? It sounds kind of fun. It sounds like something I could maybe participate on and learn some things about. Because we had done some of the single family homes. I was thinking that doesn't scale real well. I'm going to have to stay at my job and have a W-2 forever. And that's not what I wanted to do. So the commercial real estate angle gave me an opportunity to say, hey, I can leave and go do something here that I'm a little more passionate about and still had some energy to go develop. So one of the things that I did was I hired a mentor and started looking at ways I could go out and buy an apartment. And I realized early on after spending about 2 or 3 months with his program, learning about underwriting and analyzing markets that, it was a competitive landscape and it was going to be a team sport. And I was like, okay, who was going to be my team players? And I decided one of the best things I did was just ask my mentor at the time, how can I help him? You know, how can I help get him involved with your business? I think that would take a little bit less risk off the table for me, but I wasn't really looking for an income component. I was just looking for an opportunity to learn and fast. And so I joined a group that had a couple of large apartments under their belt, and the head of that company had done about 10 years of this before, so he had a lot of experience working with an institutional company doing a multifamily syndication. So I felt I was with surrounding myself with experts, Todd, and I asked how I could help, and they had just put a apartment under contract in Dallas, Texas, and it was a 320 unit We're going to require $8 million down. And my mentor just said, hey, this is a good time for you. Your learning is going to go skyrocket because you're going to be part of our syndication group. You're going to go educate investors on what we do. You're going to get some due diligence help with me on the ground. And, you know, at the end of the day, those investors that you bring to our business are going to be your investors to cultivate. And down the road, you can take them to your own deal. I'm like, this is great. And he also said there's an income component there. And my wife liked that. She's like, hey, okay. So you're not going to sit around for 12 to 18 months twiddling your thumb and just trying a bunch of different things. You're pretty focused. You're energized. And you know, we don't have to worry about where the funds might come in down the road. So it's kind of fun. Well, fast forward 3 years later, I've taken that concept. I'm working on my 12th deal with these guys, still focused on Dallas, Texas, where I probably raised $25 million or so for these guys over maybe 3,500 units. But along the way, I found as my investor base grew and we were cultivating that, I really enjoyed the concept of educating investors and being that liaison for them. So my degree title was in college was financial planning. And I realized that there's only so many Dallas, Texas apartments and same sponsor operator I could comfortably talk to my investors about. So I started thinking about diversification concepts and some other things. So this business has now grown to a point where, you know, we're now partnering with other operators that I can work with and get to know in some different niches like self-storage, manufactured home parks, which you know, research shows are pretty strong areas to be in, and developed some longer term relationships with some other partners. So I'm really offering my investors an opportunity to participate in some of the strongest commercial real estate niches with some really solid operators, and you know, really focus more on helping them grow their wealth. Right. So my path has changed quite a bit along the way, and maybe this is kind of the entrepreneurial's way. You know, it's you start down one path, like I want to own my own apartment and do everything. Then you realize it's a big boy sport, big girl sport. A lot of people doing it. How do I just partner with an expert, learn? And then I took something along the way that said, you know, I'm really good at this area, but I'm not so keen on sitting in front of a computer looking at spreadsheets and deals all day long. I probably can have a partner do that, and I can find another way to add value. And then I took that concept and decided, well, I have a lot of allegiance to investors. I love to educate. So maybe turn this into more of a small private equity company where you're really providing more services. And so it's in 3 years, it's been a whirlwind, but you know, it's been a lot of fun. Nothing like owning your own business. I work probably three times as hard. Don't tell my former employer. I enjoyed my experience there, but I mean, when you have your own business, as you know, Todd, it is a 7 day a week, you know, kind of thinking about it a lot, concept, but, you know, when you're doing something fun, you're passionate about it, it doesn't feel like you're working. Right. And so that's the magic of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely that last part. I mean, yeah, you work 7 days a week and you're always thinking about it too. It's like You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. You're always thinking about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're enjoying it. That's what you love. And so when you love it, like you said, when you love it, it's not work.
Right. And you start seeing the rewards and you see the hard work paying off. And then if you get, you know, in my case, my wife joined the business and has a part of the business. She has her own life and doing her own thing on the side for other things that she likes to do. But, you know, it's kind of fun watching that as you develop a business that, you know, my kids aren't at an age now where they're thinking about that, but once they graduate from college, it's just nice to know, hey, there's an option down there because, you know, there's so many different facets of growing a business that you could use help in. So that's a cool thing I think about too down the road. Not what's the original purpose of the business, but you can provide and support other people and create some things that are special for them too. So,
did you quit your job right away before you started?
Yeah, so I this was late 2015, I was doing a lot of work on the real estate social network Bigger Pockets. I had been a member for a couple of years, and I was, you know, searching out. That's how I found my mentor, and then I was once I met that person and kind of really thought this is what I wanted to do, I was like, you know, I'm kind of coming to the end of this corporate thing. I was kind of feeling like I had the passion wasn't there as much anymore, and also the I just wasn't feel like I was making an impact. It was a company that was a Fortune, 25 company. I just don't feel sometimes you're making an impact like you would like to be doing. And so, coupled with the fact that my family was at a right time and stage where they were becoming more independent, especially the kids that had their own thing going on, it's like, this is a great time. We'd saved some money. We had some things going well. It wasn't like I could never work again, but I was, we were comfortable that I could go take a chance for a year or two and try something. And, I really felt that was, looking back, I wish I'd kind of done it 10 years earlier, honestly. still have a lot of energy and gas in the tank, but, when I see the folks I surround myself with and I work with, they're getting this concept a lot younger than I am. So, maybe I'm providing, this is where I felt I had my advantage, when I talk to investors that have capital. When I graduated from college at 22 with this financial planning degree, I went to work for an insurance company, which was the only company that was actually going to pay me anything to do anything. That was the first thing you're thinking about when you got out of college, you got bills. And I had to sell whole life insurance and disability insurance. And it was like I'm going to the dentist every day. And so 6 months later, I'm like, I'm going to get a graduate school. This is not what I want to do. I didn't like sales and marketing. It was like in my head, it was just like, I'm an extrovert. I bartended my way through college. I felt real comfortable with people, but if you don't really believe in kind of what you're doing, or you're not comfortable with the products and just that presentation, it can turn you off for a long time. And yeah. So throughout my corporate world, life, I never, if I was heard about a sales and marketing, just kind of like, I don't really like to do that. I'm not experienced with it. And now it's funny because I really interface with a lot of people. I'm talking to them about deals, but it's in a totally different light, right? Yeah. I like it. I invest in those deals. I know those deals very well, and I'm just educating people. So as long as people tell me I'm not really in the sales and marketing role, I'm fine. If you start telling me I got to do something, I'm like, that's not the way to do this business anyway. Right? It's not the way to do this business. This business is all about professionally working with people, educating them, and if they're right for it, great. If it's not the right time or whatever, so be it. But you've educated and left them with an experience, and so that's what I enjoy about the business, right? It's not I'm in my element. But I'm doing things now and stretching myself in areas that I was uncomfortable not too long ago doing, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's probably the best way to be a sales anyways, through education.
Yeah.
Honestly, if people feel like they're getting something in return, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable with you. So, and by the way, 10 years ago, you're probably lucky you didn't start 10 years before you started, because that was 2005.
Right.
We all know.
Right. Sure. Yeah. We would have started, and a year later, we would have been in trouble. Although,
yeah.
And we're trying to stay in asset classes that have performed well in downturns. And that's one thing I'm cautious about as we start, as the business continues to grow and pick up momentum with, return investors and referrals and those things. And, the economies are still doing strong. There's a lot of capital out there waiting to be placed in areas. And, we mentioned before we started the call, it's easy to get distracted. There's a lot of things going on that you might be interested in doing. As my business increases, people know that I can raise some capital. We can do things. So I get a lot of people calling me or emailing me, say, hey, it's more of a transactional discussion. Like, I've got this deal, or what do you think about this? I'm like, that's not how my business works. It would take so much energy to vet you, your deal, your market, and if it's a one-time thing, it's not really worth it. It's not worth it to my investors to be exposed to that. So, that's one thing. You want to help people, but at the same time, you got to be realistic about your time. It's easy also to get excited about other things. I've got a partner that I'm in his livestock fund, and I'm in, he's got oil and gas, he's got food halls, and he's really into syndicating what we would call non-correlating assets, right? They're interesting. I mean, I love talking to them about it. It's not that I may not expose my investors to that at some point, but it's just, I think I'm best if I stay to my niches and true to my calling for a while. And then gradually, as I learn about a new area, okay, that's fine. But spend some time blogging about it, really researching it, and messaging to your investor base and prospects that this isn't something you just woke up yesterday and decided to go discuss serious money and where to put it. Right. So.
Well, and that's good points. I mean, you know, whether you're going to go into that business or you're representing other people. I mean, you're representing other people saying, hey, this is a good investment. If you don't know enough about it, how do you really know it's a good investment?
Right.
You just, like you said, if you just wake up one day and all of a sudden.
I'm reading a lot about it. Sounds good.
Yeah. Let's do it, guys. Let's do it. Here's what they say. Here's what the spreadsheet says.
Right.
We all know what spreadsheets can do. Anybody can make a spreadsheet look sexy.
Yeah. What's interesting too, I just thought about something. And when I was, I had an investment club, a stock investment club one time, and the actual portfolio ended up being like 20 people, but it migrated to me and this other guy kind of doing all the work. Everybody else kind of enjoyed the passive returns from it. Right. And it was supposed to be a club. It was like, at the end of the day, it was like just him and I showing up and doing all the work. And it was like, and at the end of this thing, we were like, and then we had our personal portfolio on the side, and our personal portfolio did not perform as well as the portfolio that we had investor money in. And I always look back on that. Same thing with my real estate. I'm willing to take a risk with my money to learn about some areas. I don't put a lot into it, but I'll take it. I'm in his cattle fund. I'm in some different things. I may go into his food hall just to learn about it, put a small amount of money in, but I want to be in that a while and test it, make sure it feels comfortable, it works, and is that something that might be interesting to my investors. But it's funny when you're kind of the steward, you know, you feel like you're more conservative. You want to make sure you're more right and careful. You know, measure twice, cut once kind of concept.
Which you should be. So, you mentioned earlier that when you started kind of this journey, you got a mentor right away. Why? And it sounds like maybe a paid mentor. I don't know.
Right. We can call him a coach.
So why a coach? Why a mentor? Why'd you go that route versus the other route of just doing it yourself?
Yeah. I thought the route of doing it myself was going to be a slower route and it would increase my risk. Right. So, I'm not risk averse, but I don't want to bring the age up, but I think if I was in my 20s or 30s, you know, flipping houses, doing it myself with a partner made a lot of sense. And then later in my career, thinking about something a little bit more stable, and something that, was going to have a long-term, something I do long-term, and especially when I start talking about investors, I thought one of my number one tips is partner with experts to start. You've been successful doing a lot of your things on your own, and I think that's great. You can certainly learn a lot, but I felt I could accelerate my success and not only accelerate my success, but do it faster and with more certainty by partnering with someone who was already doing it. I thought that would be pretty cool. So that's it's funny because I did after raising a bunch of capital, I had created a book on my website that people can download. But I also talked to people a lot about capital raising, and one of my first tips, I've got like 5 essentials of capital. One of the first ones was partner with experts. Now you can do it without that, but you're much more credible working with experts and leveraging those experts. So let's just take a multifamily apartment. You talk about that a lot. When you start out, do you just pick an apartment company that you like, or would it behoove you to pick an apartment company that has a nice history that you can put into your marketing deck? And of course, when you interview them and you still like them, they're maybe the top 3 companies. I would lean towards a company that had 10 plus years experience, right? Especially doing value add multifamily, not just managing a property, right? So you can certainly surround yourself with experts, and that would be another path, or you can just be part of a team that's already an expert and find a role on that team like I did that you can contribute value. And it just accelerated my success so much faster.
Yeah, definitely. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made so far, and how did you learn and grow from it?
Let's see. The biggest one happened on my first deal, especially. And I've been interviewed about it, and it's out there, and I don't feel bad about it really now because, one, the investors were taken care of, and the deal ended up doing very well. We've exited from it, and we learned a lot about security and compliance. But the first deal I did with my coach, we were part of, unfortunate part of a phishing scheme, which is internet scheme where he had sent me. I had raised I got soft commits for $1 million from 13 investors on that, our first 320 unit deal together in Dallas. And he had sent me email instructions on wire instructions over email, which we don't do today. I got the email, and it was, in retrospect, when you looked at it, only one letter in his email was changed around, but you wouldn't have seen it unless you were looking for it. And someone had got in there and sent the email from a different server and had changed the wire instructions slightly. And so I had sent these instructions to 13 investors. And the following Monday, I got a call from one of those investors and said his bank had called them, a major bank in the U.S., and said that was sent to a fraudulent account. Oh, gosh. So, and it was like I remember in my house exactly where I was. I remember going white and like, oh my gosh, So try to be cool, having been in the corporate world and charged some pretty big operation opportunities, to just, remain calm as best I could. I emailed all 13, said, if you haven't been to the bank, we got some different instructions for you here. And I isolated four folks that had already been to the bank and had wired $225,000 to this fraudulent account. Of course, it was a bank that was legitimate. It was in the United States, but they had done a poor job, in my opinion, of screening their customer base. And so this was a bad customer. The money was gone before it was too late. There's no FDIC protection for wires gone bad if they go to a fraudulent account. So I got with my coach. We made sure that we told immediately those four investors that are in the deal, don't worry about it, you're taken care of, just assume the money's in there. So my partner and I split $225,000 of our own money to cover that. And then we went about learning all about the process changes we had to make. So today we don't, you don't see anything over wire, over email and wires instructions. I have my own domain. He has his domain. We're not doing anything out there in Gmail and Yahoo. And we traditionally have more traffic and more of those kinds of opportunities. We're using a secure environment for those instructions. We don't even send the instructions to our investors anymore. I'm not even involved in that. But that was a tough lesson. That was a tough lesson. And I mentor folks today who are in the capital raising side of the business. And that particular podcast and that particular message and research around that's well documented and well coached on, because I never want anybody to go through that experience again. So that my first year in the business pretty much was a wash from my income standpoint. But a valuable experience that will never happen again, and I can educate and share that with people. So if you get into the money raising business, don't just think finding the deal and putting the deal under wraps is the biggest challenge. Make sure your back office, your back end support secure, and handling people's money is as secure, even more important than what you're doing. So make sure you have good controls in place and processes, and certainly that's a that was a valuable lesson right there.
Well, that was very good of you guys to cover the investors' losses there, because talk about a bad way to start the deal. We're going to
– Right, right.
Our goal is to make you whatever it was.
We got a negative return out of the gate.
Yeah, you got zero today.
Yeah. And Todd, the other thing I think it was cool is that investment, in 2 years we sold that just in May here. It was a total return to the investor of 52% in 2 years. That included, distributions and profit. And we were able to 1031 exchange that into another property that we just closed on August 1st in Dallas. And, those four investors, all of them rolled into the 1031. So, it just worked out really nicely. Three of those four investors have reinvested with us in multiple deals. So it's not only what happens to you. I guess the lesson there was, how do you react to it? One, cover their loss. And then two, ensure it didn't happen again, take it seriously. And, I distinctly remember a friend of mine who had referred one of those people sent me an email and said, what are you doing? I just entrusted a friend to go to you and now this is going on. And now that person's also reinvested with us. So then you can have a really bad hair day. You can have a bad day. That was one of my bad days. Probably the worst day of my 3-year career in this business. But, looking back on it, I can talk about it. I actually had a podcast on my website. Maybe the first year or so, I didn't want to share that story with anybody, really. It was embarrassing, and it was something, when you're dealing with people's money, do you really want to share that? But now I'm confident enough about the business, and people understand that we handle it in the right way, the mature way, and the business, the investors are whole. And not only that, they did well, and, they're back for more. So, it's a good lesson that you can come back from these types of things, and it's not all lost, and then you can learn some things. And now I'm sharing it with you and your audience, and hopefully we'll keep someone else out of trouble,
Yeah, it's definitely a valuable lesson. I talked to you shortly before one of my initial one of my early on syndications, and you had kind of told that story, and that made me change the way I was going to do the wire instructions as well.
Yeah, and it's important. It's like maybe the last thing you think about, right? Because you've done all this other work, and you're like, this is coming to the finish line.
Hey, so this is normally where we thank our sponsor, but instead of that, through Christmas, we're going to be talking about the best Christmas ever, BCE movement.org. And we have a family that's been nominated, the group that I'm working with. So basically what the organization is every year they're supporting 200 families throughout the U.S. and world. They're basically providing the best Christmas ever to a family who's been down and out, usually through no fault of really their own. And this is the case with the family that the group that I'm working with is nominated. So this group, or this family, sorry, has a 17-year-old daughter, and Kelsey, and she was diagnosed with neuroblastoma at 6 months old and was thought of as being cured. In October, she woke up with an unexplainable black eye, was brought into Children's Hospital. Children's did scans over a 2-day period and told the family that Kelsey's cancer was back, and it spread all over her body, sinus, liver, spleen, all through her spine and bones. And right now Kelsey's going through chemotherapy and radiation and just a lot of stress happening on her, of course, and then the family as well. So what we're going to be doing is trying to provide them with some gifts, with helping out around the house, doing some repairs, some cleaning, stuff like that. And then, providing them opportunities to be able to spend time together as a family. So if you feel moved to support that, go to bcemovement.org. And I'll link the actual link to this family. There's a specific link to this family if you want to support this family that we're supporting right now. Of course, they need donations. And if you want to actually participate and be a part of it, you can reach out as well to me. You can definitely give us a message and let us know if you do want to actually partake in it. So bcemovement.org is the actual website, and go onto our show notes and you can type it, or you can click on the link that goes directly to this family. So anybody who does it, definitely appreciate it. I know there's a lot of stuff to support all throughout the year, especially this time of the year. So whatever you can do is absolutely fantastic. So David, you've been, doing this for a while here. You've had mm-hmm. a lot of success in a fairly short amount of time. What's something our listeners can do if they're trying to get to that next level, trying to get to the level you're at? Maybe a couple things you think are keys to your success.
Well, we'll throw one out. I mean, there's a variety of things. I think you got to find this. You hear this all the time. Find something you love to do, because if you love to do it, it's not work to you, right? So you're going to put the extra hours into it. You're going to find the extra energy. And you know, I never, you know, people would say, hey, you're really good at raising capital, and obviously you're doing syndication, you've sponsored your own stuff, you're doing a lot more things than just that. But you know, at the end of the day, I had no clue I was good at that. I had no clue. I mean, if I even told you marketing and sales wasn't for me. So you know, keep that blank canvas kind of open. Don't just think just because you had maybe not success there. But if you're still kind of excited about real estate, or you're still excited about something, you know, fan that excitement. I didn't know that was a strength until I got around people that showed me that needed help. So I do think, you know, surround yourself with experts in some form or fashion. You know, it could be going to conferences, but, you know, practical reasons and ways that you can do things on a daily basis around people, or weekly basis around people who are doing things, you can share with you and see if you can ask for help. See if you can do things for free. You hear that a lot, but that certainly wasn't asking for compensation when I started. And certainly that's it's there. It's just, you know, it's a good way to get in. Ultimately, it's playing to your strengths, right, Todd? So, you know, you put all these things together. If you're excited about something, you start doing it a lot, and you're around people who are experts, and, you know, that becomes a strong point for you. And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, there was a lot of concepts and mantras around, you know, find out what are your weaknesses and spend your time there. And I don't. I just don't spend my time on weaknesses. If it's a glaring weakness, okay, maybe. But you know, if it's a weakness or not an interest to you, go hire that, or go find someone who you can partner with that has those skills, and you have other skills. I noticed early on, I didn't like. I don't have a finance background, but I just felt that I was more people person. I didn't want to be sitting out looking at spreadsheets all day and going out. I don't really like looking at a lot of properties all day on my weekend or nights. And there's people that like to do that. And that's great. And I want to find them, because they may not like to go talk to people about, hey, we need a couple million dollars to make this happen. I like the story. I like to understand the story, and I have an appreciation for underwriting, and I have an understanding of the market. And so I can talk to sophisticated investors at almost any level. But I've learned how to do that. And I've learned around, because I've been around experts, and I have this general concept that I love real estate. And you know, and I guess the other thing, Todd, you find is there's a lot of roles and things you can do. Like, you know, you may start out thinking, I want to flip houses, but you may end up being a syndicator in self-storage. Who knows? I mean, just in the beginning, I think it's like a shotgun approach. Some people just have no idea what they want to do. So try a lot of stuff, read a lot of stuff, and just start doing something. And if you start really liking it, before long, you're going to be spending so much time with it. Allow that to develop, and focus on it, and get better at it. How did Michael Jordan get better at basketball? He probably loved it. I bet he really liked playing basketball, and I bet he liked it so much he was in the gym at night and the weekends and, you know, all those things that those guys did. And you certainly see people who are very talented not use that talent, because they may not be as interested in it. But people who are really interested. You know, I remember growing up, I'm going to age myself a little bit. There was a guy named Pete Rose, right? Because I grew up in Cincinnati. I'm like, you know, that guy, if you ask him, he didn't have a lot of talent. They said the guy, he wasn't very fast. All these different things about the athlete, but he just, you know, it was Charlie Hustle. He just loved it. He loved it. He got better and better and better. So.
And he liked to gamble too.
Yeah, right. Right. So the thing is that you're never, you know, you're never out of the woods. You always got to keep an eye on your total being what's happening to you, right? Don't get, if you get successful, you know, keep a good head on and understand who the partners were and the people and the family behind everything about your success. And, you know, and enjoy that success with them and share that success. And like in my business now, there's opportunities for people to join the business over time, or, you know, the rewards for the business, we can do things. So, you know, last year or the summer or Christmas last year, and then the holidays, I was in Australia and New Zealand, right, for 2 weeks with my family, and I went to the Great Barrier Reef in Sydney and New Zealand. I mean, it's just like stuff that I would never have thought about really doing, and now we can do that when we want to do it. And you know, so it's creating a lifestyle that you can enjoy. But you know, I never felt like it was work, right? I never felt that this was work. It's just fun. And shutting it off is now kind of a problem. We were talking about that earlier, right? But that's a good problem to have, because you can work on that.
So. Right. Definitely. What's kind of the goal moving forward? Where's your business going?
So there's some near term things I'd like to do. We are sponsoring more projects now. So Thompson Investing it's own sponsor. I've partnered with a company out of Dallas that can handle all of our back office, do this, all the distributions and manage all the accounting and the K-1 statements for syndication. And they also bought into a company that can give me an investor portal. So the business, the fun thing about the business is that it grows. You find things you want to keep moving in forward. What's the better customer experience? Well, I found people do 4 or 5 deals with me in different operators, different markets, different niches. And they're like, hey, when's this first distribution? And when is, I missed the last report. I'm like, man, now we got a website, or now we got a portal you can go into and you see it all there. Right. So, yeah. I'm not Fidelity and Vanguard yet, but certainly it's starting to create this infrastructure of a nice professional experience for investors. And so these are kind of near term things are evolving. One thing I was going to talk to you, I didn't talk much about, but when I started, my coach and mentor was really good at this. He said, Dave, you should develop a thought leadership platform. So what you're doing, Todd, is a thought leadership platform. You have a podcast, you're taking your time to have guests out there sharing free information. I do that with blogging, that newsletter. I wrote a book, but the book was designed for capital raising. So I'm like, well, that's not my biggest audience. My biggest audience is investing, so investors. So I'm getting ready to write a book. I've got a book here called Book the Business. And it's a book that someone gave me here just last week. And he asked me, he said, David, have you ever written a book? I said, I have a book. It's on my website. It's downloadable for free. You can give it away, but it's a small audience, right? It's for a small audience, entrepreneurs, people who are want to get into syndication business. Here's a way. But the bulk of my audience would be more interested in a book about, Dave, why do you like investing in multifamily apartments, self-storage, mobile parks? Give me the data around that. Why is that a safer way to go, you think, than new construction? Or tell us about syndication. What's the 25 frequently asked questions on syndication? I'm new to syndication. What's that all mean to me? So, you know, you get excited about your business. I think right now I have 3 books I want to write. Right? But getting back to the thought leadership platform, when you used to be excited about your business, the idea here is you're not trying to write a book to sell the book. You're trying to write a book to educate people and give it away for free, because you just want people. And then the other thing about books and writing and those kind of things, a podcast gives you instant credibility because not a lot of people do it. It takes some time and thought. And so you can show your audience that, you know, hey, book me, you can write a book. You know, hey, this guy's credible. He's written something on a topic. So you're probably going to see a book from me by the end of the year. We've got a portal coming up. My business is expanding from the standpoint we're able to bring more money to deals. I haven't taken a whole deal down yet, but I think next year it's just a matter of time. We're going to be raising $5 or $10 million on a deal and taking the whole deal down with an operator. So then we can start working on some closer partnerships and things like that. I'm sure we'll probably expand some niches over time, but slowly where it makes sense. And if the economy slows down and starts picking back up again, maybe some new construction, or maybe office, or maybe industrial. But I'm not into those niches now because I think, you know, where we are, I'm comfortable where we are in a cycle with these kind of more downside protection type opportunities. So, I'm having a fun time. That's the key. As long as I wake up, I'm having fun and excited. I feel like I'm doing something I want to do. And then you're sharing that with other people. So if we talked about it initially, who's your audience? If these are entrepreneurs starting out, get back to it. There's so many ways to give. And like this content takes our time, right? We're not really getting paid for it. I mean, I don't really feel like there's a direct payment compensation. I'm not looking for that. You're excited about what you do, Todd. You're sharing with your audience. You're bringing good guests on here that have little niches that they want to talk about. And you're providing that platform, and you're providing a thought leadership platform here for your investors to learn more about you and what you're all about, but also your guests. It's powerful. It's very powerful. I'm sure you've learned a lot too. So, if you're starting a business, go get a book on thought leadership. In fact, we should probably write one, right? Let's go write a book on thought leadership, because there's 25 ways you could expand your business just by, giving away free content and good content, good quality content, and helping your people know that, you know, you're a credible source, and you have good some good ideas. It's not a sales and marketing tool, right?
Never feel like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and ultimately, it kind of comes down to that, but
yeah.
You know, as you talk there, I mean, people get to know whether you're writing a book or doing a podcast or any other type of thought leadership, people get to know your personality. They get to know you. I mean, it comes out, you know, if you do it long enough and consistent enough, your personality is going to come out through the blogs, through the books, right. through the podcast, through all that. People feel that connection with you. And plus you're providing them education. You're providing them, you know, something of value. So, I mean, it's definitely been powerful for me. I think powerful for you.
And that's a good point. I'll add something to that. I had a syndicator. I read several newsletters to get some ideas of what people are doing. And I always thought where I was missing on my newsletter, I would just start into, you know, here's the deal. Here's what we've done. Here's what we closed. And it was all about, when I look back on it, I was like, no one's really learning much about the people behind our business, right? And I always liked his because he started out with, hey, I just got back from vacation in Colorado and, you know, weather's changing. And, you know, it seemed a little bit interesting, but he was always sharing some personal thing about him. Because in my first podcast interview, when I started this business with Kevin Buff, I remember he mentioned to me, he said, you know, people want to know that you're a real person, that there's a family behind this thing, that you're a real you're one of us. You're a person behind us. You're not some big corporation that's just caring about the dollar and just, you know, you're a person that we can relate to and you're just like out there just sharing some information, helping us along our journey of, you know, maybe it's the financial success part of our life. You know, we want to be a part of that. That's great. But that's a nice thing and a nice feature. I know, I'm sure you weave that into your discussions too with your audience, because if they know you more on a personal level, they're going to feel comfortable with you sharing some things about them. When I talk to investors, I want to kind of know what's kind of going on in their life sometimes too, not just let's get down to talking about this opportunity. Right? So,
Yeah. It helps you get to know them. We've talked a little bit about books. What's a book that you really enjoy that you've read maybe within the last year?
Oh, there's a lot of good ones. In fact, there's so many good ones that were in my newsletter every month. I put which one I read. The last one I put in the book, it's not a new newsletter. It's not a new one, but it's called The Law of Subtraction. And I find myself, I'm not really a minimalist, right? I think my daughter is. She told me that, you know, she goes to Goodwill and buys her clothes, and she doesn't need to, but she just feels like, you know, she wants to save labor and wherever it is. I think that a lot of us could look back. We're so inundated with emails, and it's just, you know, your life's just kind of a hum sometimes, right? There's so much information you could absorb and do. Life of Subtraction is really kind of a cool book that talks about the white space. The white space is creating space to allow you to think. And it's really helps you kind of get clear on taking things out of your life that is more of a distraction that you may not even know about, and it helps you focus on more of the essentials. There's a lot of books out there kind of like this concept, but it was really from a designer standpoint, and they show you a lot of illustrations about logos and why logos look this way, like the FedEx logo, why it looks like this. And I don't know if you ever noticed it, but the FedEx logo, it's if you step back and look at it, it's an arrow. There's an arrow in there, the FedEx, and it's an arrow, and it's supposed to express, right? It's an express in this arrow. I never noticed it until I read the book. And so now I'm really cognizant about what's called white space by leaving things out of pictures and design, how more our mind picks up on things. And sometimes it's subliminal, but the clarity that it gives to design is like less is more. It's very simple concept. But yeah, that's the book I'm reading now. I try to highlight a book. I can do a book a month. It's kind of hard to keep up that pace, but I really think you deserve to spend some time reading some good quality books versus just on the internet reading articles all the time.
No, I agree. Digging into a good book, and actually what I've been doing a decent amount is it rereading some of the books that I read before.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that when I read a book, sometimes it doesn't quite click with me.
Yeah.
And I read it again and it's like, wow, that book is, so I read the E-Myth.
That's a great book.
Great book. I read it before I started my real entrepreneurial journey.
It didn't click.
It didn't click. It was, it was an okay book, but it wasn't really, didn't mean much. Right. That was maybe back in like 2004 or so. And then I read it again just this last year and I was like, this is an amazing book.
Yeah.
So sometimes just rereading a book because you maybe
weren't ready for it. And, I don't mean to get like spiritual on you, but it seems like to me when I'm thinking about something I want to do, then, people or something appears to help me. Right. So I had lunch last week with a guy and he just said, hey, I do a notes business here in Austin. And I saw your website. It looks like you do things that might complement some of my clients would like to get into. And then I show up and he gives me this book called The Book, The Business. And he has his own book that he wrote. And he's saying, Dave, I noticed on your website, you don't have a book, but I would recommend you write a book. And I was just like, I wasn't even expecting that conversation. And then I'm like, well, I have a book. I just haven't published it. And it's the wrong type of book really for what I want. So but that was on my mind that I wanted before the end of the year to start putting something together. And he showed up with this book that tells you how to do it and why you should do it. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. Maybe it's keeping your eyes open. It's always there all the time, Tom, they say, but when you're it's like the car you buy, right? Like you buy this car and like you never notice the car until you buy it. Everybody else has got one.
Yeah.
Same car. You know? And it's like, wow, it's like it's been there all the time. We just finally started looking for it.
Yeah, I truly believe a lot of success has to do with keeping your mind and eyes completely open the whole time.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So last question for you. What are your three pillars of wealth creation?
Oh, that's a good one. I married a woman who was very good at saving money. And when I met her in college, even though I had a finance background, she's like trusted me on that. And we were a good pair because I liked investing. She liked to save. So I think her the just understanding that you need to put some money away. Very common, but until you start seeing things grow, you don't get excited about it, right? So saving was important to me. I got the concept of diversification pretty early on, again, in college, financial planning focus and diversification is all important. But the last concept I would say that I think is even more important and trumps probably everything there is, if you really find yourself good at something and you focus on it, then even though it's diversification, I'm probably way overweighted in commercial real estate. If I look at my asset portfolio, it's like way overweighted in commercial real estate, but I'm comfortable there with that. I'm comfortable based on the research I've done and based on my understanding. I'm not good about stock market volatility. It bothers me even though I traded stocks. I know a lot about it. I talk about diversification, I'll diversify in other things. Maybe I'll buy some different types of products and more of a holistic approach now to protect assets and things like that. Do some different things that are maybe not correlated with stocks. But I feel comfortable focusing on concentrating more on some things. Even though I preach diversification, I'm fine if I feel like I know the area very well. And I don't do stupid things, then that's okay. But yeah, I would say those are kind of the three things. Savings, diversify, but once you find something really good at, it's okay to overweight, I think.
Yeah. Well, somebody else just recently said, and they kind of had the same thought process as that, but what they said is you've got to be like, if you dislike the stock market, if you think the stock market is terrible, you're not going to do well in the stock market. You're just not going to. So you've also got to make sure you believe in what you're investing in. And you believe in commercial real estate. And so you should be heavy in that because you're going to be successful in it because you believe in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. And investors want me to be investing in the deals that I'm talking to them about. So that's the other reason. And I like the deals. I wouldn't be talking to them. I always think about this. I'm like, I always look at this deal. I'm like, would I do the deal? Yeah. And would I feel comfortable turning and talking to my folks about it, my sisters about it, and would I put them in a deal? Absolutely. Yeah. Then I feel comfortable going into my 300 accredited investors and saying, you know, I'm doing it. You know, I'm aligned with you. You don't have to do it. I mean, this would educate you on it, but they always, a lot of them will ask, are you doing the deal? How much you put in? And we want to be aligned with the investors. So there's probably, that's a reason why I've got more money in there than normal. But again, I feel comfortable. You know, I feel comfortable. If I'm talking to investors about a deal that I like, I might as well be in it with them. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is. David, how do people get in touch with you?
So I've got a website, Thompson Investing, all one word, Thompson, investing.com. I've got a capture page there if you want to just leave me the information. You can get on my newsletter and we can get a 30-minute introductory call too, and just understand what you're trying to do and see if we have something that might be helpful. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, say I really appreciate you coming on the show, spending time with us, and tons of value here. So definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me. It was great seeing you in Denver. I don't know if we're going to do that next year, but hope to see you soon. I'm glad to hear your business is doing well, and let's keep in touch. Sounds great.
Absolutely. Have a good rest of the day.
All right, buddy. You too. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, special thanks to David Thompson for joining us on the show. Appreciate him spending time and his day with us. And a few things I took from this episode. First of all, is surround yourself with experts. I think that's extremely important, definitely. Then he said also play to your strengths. You know, make sure that you understand what you're good at, and then find the team around you. Surround yourself with others who are good at other things and are going to complement your strengths. And then last thing is find something to do that you love, which is really important. That it's not work. We talk about work-life balance. We talk about being happy at work. Well, if you're enjoying yourself every single day, that's all that other stuff is just going to come a lot more naturally. So again, appreciate David for joining us. Reach out to him and connect. Make sure that you get in touch with him. Great. Definitely a great guy to talk to. So if you enjoy this show, go on to our Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe. Also, give us a 5-star rating review. We'd love to have your rating review. That helps us grow our show. So go on to iTunes, Pillars of Wealth Creation, and give us a rating review. Help us out. Share us, you know, on social media, on Facebook, wherever you're listening, and let other people know what we're doing. I'm Todd Dykstra, signing off. Make every day a Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.